Good afternoon, fellow Patriots. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from deep inside the heart of the future Liberty State, brought to you once again by Covenant Church Spokane and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story. And the news behind the news is not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about our hope not being in man, but in Jesus Christ. It's about not ending in prayer, but moving to action. And it's about the gospel of the kingdom, Isaiah 61:1-4. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord anointed me to bring good news to the humble. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and freedom to the prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the cloak of praise instead of a disheartened spirit. So they will be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. Then they will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many, many generations. I added that second many there, but it's true. We have an opportunity to set the foundation for many generations. And the question is, how are we going to approach this? The question is, how are we going to deal with what is coming right now? Because it is wholesale war on every front. It is financial and economic warfare, cyber warfare, psychological warfare, information warfare, media warfare. And it's so many on virtually every front. And if we don't understand fourth generation warfare, we don't understand what's happening. I want to talk about a couple things very quickly before we get to something I think you're going to appreciate, because I want to go through the plan that they are bringing forward. Now, Tuesday, just before the show, Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy, and Rich Higgins and a bunch of other people were deplatformed from Twitter. In addition to that, Bed Bath & Beyond canceled Mike Lindell. Now, according to WorldNet Daily, Bed Bath & Beyond stock plunges, the single biggest one-day loss ever amid a boycott. Bed Bath & Beyond plunged 36.4% at the close of trading Thursday. Wow. Now, this is an example of financial warfare. People taking it into their own hands and saying, we're not going to shop there anymore. Now, the caveat to that is Christians who believe in the kingdom of God, who preach the gospel of the kingdom, should be seeing opportunities out there to do better business and replace these corporations like Bed Bath & Beyond with ones that will not operate in a communistic fashion as part of a grand design of silencing conservatives. So there should be people out there right now thinking about how can we move forward in this time. There's so much influence up for grabs, as a friend of mine said. So much. How do we do it? Now, there are other things that are happening too on the other side. And we need to understand this, the other side of this coin. So it's not just pushing back against the communists. It's not just setting up your own business and filling the gaps. It is also how the left actually weaponizes conservatives against conservatism. And there's a great article. We had Alex Newman on Tuesday, and this article is posted at his media outlet, libertysentinel.org. But the GOP establishment tries to get conservatives to think that loving freedom is wrong, that loving freedom is illegal or selfish. And so they turn people against, for example, President Trump, against all decent, honoring, and law-abiding people. They try to shame people who supported the president into abandoning. But what they're really trying to do is to get people to abandon conservatism. They're trying to make it, and this is exactly what the Nazis did, the National Socialists. And I had some people try to argue with me over this. The fact of the matter is Benito Mussolini was the chief editor of the Italian socialist newspaper Avanti, which means forward. By the way, that was President Barack Obama's slogan. Another person there that worked at that Italian socialist newspaper, PSI, was Antonio Gramsci, the guy who essentially fathered, in the sense of the communist indoctrination, many people who you have heard of today. And Hillary Clinton studied Rules for Radicals by Saul Alinsky. Well, where did that come from? Saul Alinsky studied Antonio Gramsci. These were socialists. And yet, Benito Mussolini was credited with creating fascism, even though that's really not accurate. He was credited with doing it. And who followed suit and met with Benito Mussolini? Adolf Hitler. And took Mussolini's policies and brought them back to Germany. It's a matter of historic fact. So people that try to say this, that the National Socialists weren't socialists, is ridiculous. And there's some interview that was out there that they try to hang their hat on that sole thing. But socialism is defined as another form of the government controlling the means of production and owning some of it, actually. Okay, so with that in mind, what the GOP establishment tried to do is say it was okay for these instigators at the Capitol, which we now know for a fact that there were Marxist instigators there, trying to turn it into like a Reichstag moment where they could use it as an excuse to start cracking down on conservatives. And I'm going to get to what that looks like here in a second. But it's important to understand that this is not just coming from the communists. It's also coming from their enablers in the GOP establishment. And yes, that is true. And I have spoken against the GOP establishment for years, because they birth people like Mike Pence who end up being traitors to the country. And what he did on January 5th and January 6th, the full story has not been told yet. But when it is, it is crystal clear what happened. All right. Now, let's talk about quickly where this is headed. One more real quick thing before I forget this. I almost forgot. Rand Paul finally stood up and called out the Democrat hypocrisy for allowing violence to go on most of last year and then coming against Trump. And yet, he also voted, it looks like, for some of these appointments. the Republicans should be voting against every single Biden appointee right now. And they're not, they're rolling over. And this is at the same time that Speaker Pelosi has said this, and I want to read this tweet. The enemy is within the House of Representatives. And then AOC, kind of chiming in, vilifying Republican opposition as, quote, the enemy and white supremacists. But I want to go back to Speaker Pelosi, quote, I do believe, and I have said this all along, that we will probably need a supplemental for more security for members when the enemy is within the House of Representatives, a threat that members are concerned about in addition to what is happening outside. Now, you will remember what happened to yours truly here a year and a half ago. It was a forerunner. They were testing it out. They literally want to vilify people they disagree with because that's what communists do when they have to try to take control and take power. And this is what AOC said as well. There are no consequences in the Republican caucus for violence. No consequences for racism. No consequences for misogyny. No consequences for insurrection. And no consequences means that they condone it. It means that that silence is acceptance. This is almost verbatim what the Marxists tried to say to Republicans in Washington State a year and a half ago. Almost verbatim. And they're trying to shame people into saying that freedom and liberty is bad. They're the ones that are advocating for all of these things. They're advocating literally for fascism in America. And fascism is another form of socialism. Another form of government control. If you look at the diagram, it's actually not right or left. It is 0% government control to 100% government control over the means of production. You got to look at it that way. And these guys want to go down a very socialist road. And they planned this. I talked about the Transition Integrity Project report back last August about how they had it set up. I want to read it again because a lot of people, I think, have missed this. Listen to this. This was turn one of a narrow Biden victory, okay? Turn one. The Trump campaign began the game by encouraging the state legislatures in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, and Michigan. That's interesting. This was in August to certify a separate slate of electors in support of President Trump. Wow, that's interesting. That happened. Then they said that the Trump campaign would amplify the, quote, stolen election and voter fraud narratives. They would ask for accountability through the Attorney General's office. Then the Trump campaign would, quote, sow more chaos and disruption. So they were literally painting the narrative against President Trump. That's not what he did at all. People were rightly upset that the election had been stolen. And listen, very clearly, incontrovertible evidence that the machines were manipulated and messed with. Then it says in rounds two and three that establishment Republicans, they actually counted on this in this Transition Integrity Project report, would be led by Mitt Romney to essentially support a Biden victory. And what happened? Who were some of the first people out to say Biden was president? He's not. This was an installation, not an inauguration. He's a pretender. Then it says the critical moment in the gameplay was when the Joint Chiefs of Staff leaked internal discussions about how to handle the escalating situation. And the leak indicated that the Joint Chiefs' commitment was to the Constitution. That is exactly the letter that they put out. Totally part of the plan. So here is what these guys are going to try to do. I want to try to summarize this. They're going to continue to try to silence and purge patriots. I'm going to get into some specific articles here in a second. They're going to arrest and harass patriot leaders and create a nationalized secret police. Just bear with me, and I will prove this with primary sources. They want to collapse the economy and then blame the president. They want to destroy small business in the middle class, and they will use increasing violence on the streets as a leverage point. In other words, we will see increasing violence on the streets, and then the Democrats are going to say, okay, we truly do need to have election and justice reform. They're going to use that as a leverage excuse to do this stuff. Because notice, Antifa is now burning a flag of Biden. These guys are all on the same side. They're just pretending like they're not. How do we know that? Because it was the same Democrats who enabled them, who didn't say anything about the riots and the violence for 6 months. And in fact, we actually found both in Oregon and in Washington, there was funding of these organizations with taxpayer money. What's their purpose of doing election reform? It is to enshrine them in power for decades to come. The next part of their plan is they're going to create a crisis in the Middle East as a cover for an attack here on the homeland via probably cyber or EMP on cell, power, and internet infrastructure. And I'm going to get to why this is. Now, remember, Jack Decker talked about this, and I want to go through this point by point. First of all, coming to us from The Spectator, John Brennan tweeted, essentially, every politician, government official, journalist, and talk show host who has ignored and enabled Trump's lies and corruption bears responsibility for the damage he has wrought. Spare us the excuses. You have failed the test of citizenship. It is now up to you to try to redeem yourselves. In other words, there has to be some sort of an apology for not voting to elect your candidate. What? Because their candidate wasn't elected. Anyone, this is a second tweet, 2 days later, anyone now seeking national redemption by claiming to no longer support Trump must acknowledge how wrong it was to ignore and enable his corrupt, dishonest, and divisive agenda. Total denunciation of a despot's legacy is necessary to eradicate any remaining malignancy, using terms that refer to cancer, obviously. But here's the point. The real cancer in this country is communism. And the jihadis are just waiting in the wings. This guy was a former CIA director who voted for a communist candidate, by the way, writes this essentially that there needs to be a purge. Now, there was somebody else that did this, but I'm going to get to that here in a second. Then he writes this, quote, the Intel community, quote, is moving like laser-like fashion to try to uncover as much as they can about the pro-Trump insurgency that harbors, quote, religious extremists, authoritarians, fascists, bigots, race, nativists, and even libertarians. So if you thought you were a libertarian skating, you couldn't skate on this one. So essentially they're saying that people are going to be targeted because of their opposing political views. He's saying it, former director of the CIA. They did this in China. Actually, Mao Zedong did this. It was called shaming sessions, and they actually have pictures of these shaming sessions where they would hang signs on them, and they would have to be contrite in the public, and that's what these guys are effectively advocating for. Then you've got reporters on MSNBC calling for, quote, the permanent expulsion and punishment for any and all forms of conservative media that run counter to their political views. Curtis Houck posted this on his Twitter account with the video to back it up. Ben Rhodes called for, quote, years, end quote, of a firm and brutal, quote, detox, end quote, of, quote, lies, end quote. A detox? These are Marxist terms. They are literally telling everybody out there what they are planning. And on top of that, you got the World Economic Forum saying that they're going to do a great reset. many analysts have clearly laid out that this will have grave consequences. The Economic Policy Journal estimates that there may be a permanently reduced workforce, 13%, with 50% of all tasks being automated and affecting 28% of the population. Okay, let me put that in plain words. They're trying to collapse the economy, destroy the middle class and small businesses. And Newsmax Finance had an article back in August talking about, that was back in August, talking about how 80,000 businesses had been permanently shuttered from March to July, March 1st specifically to July 25th. And then 60,000 were local businesses or firms with fewer than five locations. So we're talking about mom and pops. Then you have the Democrats trying to push to make D.C. a state, which is blatantly unconstitutional, by the way. They're going to try to get Puerto Rico in there if D.C. doesn't work, because they want to enshrine their power permanently by having two more senators added to the list that are liberals. Then, just last Saturday, the Democrats came out saying that they were going to make federal election standards a top priority. This coming to us from AP News. And listen to this. They want to allow widespread mail-in voting, which we know is most prone to fraud. They want to allow same-day registration. You see where this is going. And they want to nationalize essentially the election standards. Because if the states keep it like Florida, we will still have free and fair elections in part of the country at least. Now, you remember, I want to bring you back to 2009. Now, way back in Patriot Radio's beginning days, I brought this up. There was a secret list leaked showing the Missouri Highway Patrol was under orders to suspect conservative motorists of domestic terrorism. And now, again, we see this push, like I've just been talking about, to demonize conservatives. And they have gone so far. I want to read a couple quotes. This the first quote from Saving America on January 21st. They want a secret police. They actually use the words secret police to come against Trump supporters. Unbelievable. You can go look this up online. And then, just to round this out, Postmillennial has this. Biden removed a Trump order protecting the U.S. power grid from China. Executive Order 13920 was suspended for 90 days, specifically the executive order that ensures U.S. defense of our power grid is not exposed to enemies of our country. And then, within 24 hours of his installation, the pretender orders U.S. military personnel back into Syria, and they actually entered northeastern Syria within 48 hours of the installation. I mean, it really isn't that hard to understand what's happening out there. And the question is, what do we do right now? I'm going to give you a few ideas right now. First of all, we need to be organizing at the local level. I don't care if you're in a small town or whatever, organizing at the local level. And you need to be asking your local elected officials where they're at on these things. I've heard too many people say, oh, well, we survived 8 years of Obama. It's going to be okay. If you are saying that, you are absolutely ignorant of how communists operate, and clearly have never studied them or read much about them, and you don't understand these signals they're putting out and the fact that they stole this election intentionally at this time to do something. Something very big is in the offing. Wake up, wake your friends and family up, wake your neighbors up. Get organized. Number two, make sure you have redundant ways to communicate. There's plenty of encrypted apps online. Make sure you're on those. Form groups on those apps with your friends and family so you can share information and bypass the fake news media. Number three, stop watching the fake news media. Don't allow yourself to be deceived. Most of the stuff they're putting out there is not only factually inaccurate, it is intentionally part of a plan to deceive you. So don't let yourself be deceived. There's plenty of other good platforms that you can get information from, like Gab, MeWe, WeSpeak, Parler when it comes back online. And there's still some good media outlets out there like Liberty Sentinel, The New American, Understanding the Threat, etc., and Unconstrained Analytics. That's where Rich Higgins is going to be posting, I hope. The next thing, make sure you've got enough food. If they try to take down the power grid eventually, why would you sign an executive order to lessen security on our power? That doesn't even make sense. Even the most ignorant person should never sign something like that. And yet, that is exactly what the pretender did. So he's got a lot of smart people around him. So it's probably intentional. So we got to ask ourselves why and why now? So be prepared to provide for your family and to defend your family. And last but not least, but actually it should be number one, but I want you to remember it. Be spiritually prepared. If you go to a church that doesn't understand the things that I am talking about, there are many other churches that you can go to that do. And the fact of the matter is, the wolves are at the door right now, and it is incumbent upon our generation to stand up and defend liberty so it continues for our children and our grandchildren. And that's the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you to everybody that has been listening to the show and praying for us. And if you get a chance, you can find us on iTunes, Podbean, Spotify, and Amazon. You can find me on MeWe, WeSpeak, Gab, and continue to help spread the word about what's really going on in this country, and do not listen to the continued disinformation that is out there. There wasn't a secret plan that we're just waiting on to happen. That's nonsense. To keep you mollified, to keep you in your chair. Don't listen to it. And that's what Americans do, is we act. We get out there and we act. All right. My guest today is Adam Hauser. He's the National Director of Collegians for a Constructive Tomorrow, a nonprofit based in Washington, D.C. He's been a speaker at various universities across the country. He's organized student tours of all kinds of different things in regards to environmental stewardship. And he was a former legislative aide and speechwriter for the late New Jersey State Senator, Anthony Bucco. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate you being on the show, Adam. And how are you doing right now? How are you holding up through all of this?
Oh, well, it's a pleasure to be here and holding up the best I can, through prayer and through, petition and paying attention, just trying to, dig the trenches and see what we can do to start fighting back.
Yeah, and it's so interesting that, the supposed person of the working class, right, all of a sudden begins implementing things that are actually putting people out of work and destroying I think, a lot of environmental stewardship that Trump actually put in place. If you could kind of lay out what you're seeing right now, what our listeners should know.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, you hit the nail on the head there where, you know, Joe Biden, who's kind of got this aura of the working man, blue collar politician, you know, in his inaugural address, he's talking about how he's thinking about those Americans who are staying up at night, wondering how they're going to pay their bills, pay for their health care. And then on his first day of office, he signs a flurry of executive orders that are going to end up costing us, you know, tens of thousands of jobs in the immediate run and millions of jobs in the long term. And so what those executive orders are, I'll briefly get into here, is a ridiculous number. He signed 32 of them, more than any other president in his first week. He put us back in the terrible Paris Climate Accord. He canceled the Keystone Pipeline that immediately destroyed 11,000 jobs. He banned ANWR drilling in the Arctic for energy production. And possibly one of the most destructive ones was he put a permanent moratorium on new leases and permits for oil and gas drilling on federal lands and waters. And that one has the potential to kill tens of thousands of jobs every single year and just getting worse as time goes on. So you've got this president who's kind of deemed as the blue-collar friend of workers and immediately gets in and starts killing thousands of jobs immediately.
So what is the implication for working folks out there? What is the implication for our economy, and what's the implication for national security?
Absolutely. So for the economy, immediately what's going to happen is, you know, I mentioned those 11,000 jobs. Those are the jobs that are going to support the Keystone Pipeline project. Those are obviously gone now. Additionally, there was supposed to be an $800 million ownership stake for five indigenous tribes that the pipeline goes through. So that's gone. Those communities are going to be hurt as well. U.S. Chamber of Commerce released a study that now that we're back in the terrible Paris Climate Accord, which puts higher costs on our industry and on our power sector, that's going to cost about 7 million industrial sector jobs over the next 20 years. And then this ban on the oil leases, I mean, states across the country make up their budgets based off of the taxes and the levies they get from oil production on federal land within their borders. That's how you pay, you know, state pensions, state health care plans. That's how we fund our national park upkeep. And so these state budgets that are already under stress from the COVID pandemic are really going to start to feel even more pain going forward and feel stressed on paying these pensions and things like that. New Mexico gets billions of dollars. Louisiana gets billions of dollars. Colorado, same thing. And so that's what the long-term implications are. For national security, I mean, it's going to make us incredibly more reliant on China. China produces the most solar panels. They provide 80% of the resources that go into making solar panels. So even when you have Biden and all of his officials saying, well, we'll just transition them to renewable energy jobs, well, you know, we don't make as much of that here yet, and China provides all the materials to make them here for the ones we do. So it's just going to put a huge reliance on China and weaken our national security in that.
I mean, this really seems like it benefits China more than anybody else. And, you know, a lot of people have been saying all along that Biden was in the pocket of China. And I got to tell you, these kind of actions right here that essentially make us beholden to China again after all of the things that Trump did to try to get us more independent, not just in the energy sector, but also in the manufacturing sector and many other places. It seems like we're headed back in that direction right now. And so a lot of Americans are going to be like, what do we do?
Yeah. And I'd say, you know, in addition to those executive orders he signed, he also signed another one, which going to exactly what you were saying with China at the beginning, is that Trump had initially signed an executive order that kept any entity associated with the Chinese Communist Party out of our power grid and out of kind of our utility structure for those that provide, you know, essential power to our defense structure and things like that. Biden signed an executive order that puts that on pause for 90 days. And usually how this happens is when you put something on pause for a little while, it means you're just considering what's the best way to do it permanently going forward. So I wouldn't be surprised if pretty soon Biden signs another executive order permanently dismantling that Trump one, which just gives Chinese entities and Chinese companies full reign over constructing the infrastructure for our power grid, which means they can pretty much do whatever they want if we were to ever get into some sort of altercation, you know, in a war or, God forbid, something like that.
I brought this up to a couple of people, and, you know, you get kind of, you get a little bit of pushback. It can't possibly be that bad. It can't possibly be that China might use that as an opportunity to hurt the United States, because they really rely on us for trade, and that would be shooting themselves in the foot. They really don't want to hurt us. Why would they infect, you know, hardware, firmware, software as part of all this, these parts that they're giving to the United States? Why would they ever do that? What is your answer when people say those kind of things? Because I really believe that we have some naivete and we have some normalcy bias going on right here in our country right now, that the fear of the Marxists in this country is kind of playing on.
Yeah. Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, what I say to people like that, what I'll say here is that China is very good at playing the long game, and they don't mind taking some pain themselves if it ends up hurting their adversaries more. And so you'll see that China is doing very, very kind of a slow creep into several sectors of our society. They've established these Confucius Institutes that are, you know, institutions of higher education, colleges and universities, to try to slowly propagandize our future leaders into viewing China favorably. That was a huge scandal that broke a couple of years ago. They've been stealing secrets from our professors and from our scientists. They've been spying on our nation. That's why we had to close the Chinese consulate in Houston last year, I believe, because it was kind of a spy hotspot. And so you've got a lot of ways that China is starting to get their fingers into things. And, I mean, you'll even see with the pandemic here, I mean, that China has complete control over the WHO, the World Health Organization, and they've got no problem kind of, you know, instituting these policies and pulling these shots that, you know, might not help them a lot, but really hurts other nations. Like, for example, the last thing I'll say on this is for the Paris Climate Accord, China signed on to it, but they've got such a kind of corrupted power control over the United Nations that they get to keep increasing emissions until 2030, and they've got plans to build hundreds of coal plants in the next decade. But they get to say, hey, we're all on board and trying to help reduce emissions while the West, you know, just kind of commits energy suicide. We'll be fine, type of thing.
And it's just incredible watching this happen in real time and not really understanding how the Chinese mindset has been a 50-year plan to try to bring some of these to fruition. And you just go back and read some of the things that were written in 2000 by Chinese generals and Chinese colonels. They were very clear about what they wanted to do to the United States. And it's like some people are just completely ignoring it. It's just not happening. I want to shift gears a little bit to this mindset that China has. You know, they killed millions of their people. They didn't hesitate to do that to further their goals as communists. What do you think their next moves are going to be here in the United States? And where do you think the pretender in chief is headed here in the next few months with some of these policies? And what can people prepare for, embrace for?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if in the future Biden either tries to propose new or renegotiate some of the Trump trade deals with China that really aim to put us on a more equal footing under what Trump was trying to do, that really starts to give China special deals at the expense of the American people. China is moving on several fronts right now, and one of those is they've basically got a world monopoly on what are called rare earth metals, and those are the things that go into building solar and wind. And they're kind of setting up things where they build the infrastructure in certain developing countries in South America and Africa and things like that, that have natural resources they need and want, and write this deal in there where for this shoddy infrastructure they're building, they get to take like all these resources. And so that combined with the Biden administration really kind of deciding that, hey, Trump's hard stance on China was actually kind of racist, and you can't say China virus anymore. And so now we have to bend head over heels to kind of cater to them. The American people, I think, should expect that the prices are going to go up. The trade deals are going to get hurt. It's going to really hurt American industry. It's going to hurt the American dollar. And it's going to be done under the guise of friendly foreign relations and, you know, having an olive branch, but we're really getting screwed in the back end.
It's interesting, too, that a lot of people missed that. I want to go back to something you said. They missed that you can't call it the China virus anymore. A lot of people didn't even see that happen because, of course, the fake news media didn't bring it up. But that's the kind of thing that's happening. They're trying to censor the language, and they're trying to really move so fast that a lot of people miss these things, and they miss the implications of these things. One of the implications of shifting things back over to China is, it's like we talked about earlier in a different vein, it's going to really be hurting the American worker, and you're going to see a lot more automation very likely coming in the near future, if you could comment on that.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, John Kerry in a press conference yesterday, I believe it was, he was asked, you know, with the canceling of Keystone and the canceling of these oil leases and all these other things, you know, what are coal miners, what are pipeline workers, you know, supposed to do? What's your message to them? And John Kerry basically had a Marie Antoinette moment. And instead of let them eat cake, he said, well, let them build the solar panels. Similar to when Obama said, you know, learn to code to the coal miners. And so, but the problem is that, you know, we don't really build a lot of these things here. And solar technicians make far less than pipeline technicians and pipeline engineers. And so it's kind of a facade there that, you know, they're basically canceling jobs here, and they're just going to increase our reliance on jobs in China. And so I think that what you're going to see is that you are going to see China just kind of become more and more a significant trade partner. But by trade partner, it's really just kind of, you know, trade, you know, screwing us in the back type of thing. And with the China virus ban, it's clear that the left is trying to really control not just the policies in the government, but how you think, you know, and how you say things. And, you know, that control of thought is really completely, you know, the antithesis of what we're all about in America. And so, you know, this is just 1 week, you know, and we've got all this. One of our followers on Facebook, I think it was, had this, you know, comment. It's sad, but it's funny. What was, you know, you've got 4 years, Joe. You know, you don't have to destroy the country in your first week, but that's kind of what's happening.
It really is. They're moving very fast. And I want to talk about quickly the Green New Deal. It was in the news a lot back in September timeframe. Is that going to come back? Are they really going to push this? I mean, if we're seeing this in the first week, like you said, are we going to see them actually push the Green New Deal and this Great Reset?
You know, I think they are. The Great Reset, absolutely, because Biden is using the same language that the United Nations and all these other nations in the World Economic Forum are using, which is build back better. You know, whenever you hear build back better, alarm should go off in your head to say that, oh, that means dismantle capitalism and build back with socialism. And so Biden's been using that in all his tweets and all his speeches and stuff like that. So Great Reset, absolutely. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer has come out and said that, you know, Biden should declare a climate emergency. And we're going to be focusing on one thing, environment. You know, we've got the coronavirus lockdowns, putting people out of work, economic downturn, but they're focused on the environment. And so the Green New Deal, I think, is absolutely on the table. I do not think that they will be able to get a full-fledged AOC version of the Green New Deal passed, being that the Senate is 50-50 right now, and they can only pass things with Kamala Harris breaking the tie. But there's a chance they might get a diet Green New Deal. You know, maybe Joe Manchin defects on that. Maybe a couple Republican rhinos defect on that. And what you'll see there is not just a devastation on an economic basis, but the Green New Deal is actually terrible for the environment as well. Because when you start building all these wind turbines and solar panels, that needs a lot of land, and you're going to destroy a lot of forests and habitat to that.
And one of the challenges we're facing now is getting information out about this, because we're seeing the censorship happen on broad platforms with national leaders. including the president. How are you addressing this issue of keeping free speech alive just to be able to get some of the information you just talked about out to people? How are you guys doing it?
Well, you know, we're keeping up with social media stuff. You know, it's not, you know, at the risk of getting banned and at the risk of getting shadow banned or whatever else, you know, we're going to keep putting it out there. But we've also expanded to some of those new sites that you talked about, MeWe, Gab. We were on Parler before it got taken off the internet with that ridiculous restriction on free speech there by Amazon and Apple. But also, you know, we're doing radio shows like this, get directly to the people. You know, we're sending out emails directly. We've got a, you know, email list of several hundred thousand people large, and we're growing to that every month. And then also we, you know, I run our Collegians outreach program. So we're going directly to college students in these indoctrination centers, if you want to call them that, and, you know, telling them, hey, you know, you're not hearing the whole story. So we're reaching the leaders of tomorrow directly with things like that. And believe it or not, there's still students who listen to the truth and who listen to the facts. We've got a national program on that. So we're trying to do whatever we can on multiple fronts. And, you know, you get some pushback on some, but you see a lot of success on others.
You absolutely do. Want to talk quickly, too, about we have this demonization of capitalism happening right now, that if you somehow believe that a free market should exist and people can own and control their own capital, that is somehow racist and anti-environment, et cetera, et cetera. How are you specifically talking to college-age young people on these things? How are you reaching out to them and describing it? Because they really have been indoctrinated into socialism for quite a while now.
Yeah. That's been a slow creep that all of a sudden exploded over the last couple of years. And, you know, the first thing I'll say is that, you know, if there's anybody listening today that kind of doubts that the left and college professors and things like that, you know, really, I'm not sure if they actually want to get rid of private property and capitalism. You know, the World Economic Forum just put out this kind of slick video that says, in kind of like looking forward to the future, the year is 2030, you own nothing and you're happy. That is their goal. These global elites, you know, who are billionaires and trillionaires almost, who are coming together to try to strategize on how to remove private property from, you know, the developed world. And so that is absolutely their goal in terms of reaching college students on it. How we do it is we try to relate it to things that, you know, they can relate on. So, I'll use, you know, stories and examples. Everybody loves the environment. Everybody loves animals and endangered species. And so you just tell them stories and examples that they've never heard of before in their classrooms. For the one I use the most is the story about the American bison. You know, overhunting threatened to eradicate the American bison from existence. There were like 300 left in the early 1800s. And then we allowed for kind of private ownership of the American bison through ranchers and through breeders. They allowed to sell bison products. They had an incentive to keep the bison alive. And as soon as they started to do that, bison numbers started to explode. And now we've got about 300,000 to 400,000 bison alive in America today. So when you own something, when you've got an incentive to protect it and keep it alive so that you can keep your livelihood going, that keeps things, you know, happy and safe for everybody. And so that example in particular really resonates with students. And we did a video at Seattle University of all places about that, and really had a lot of success.
That is great. And that is a fantastic soundbite to get right to the heart of the issue, that there is actually more care for things when you have responsibility and authority over it. I love to shift gears just a little bit. Where can people go to find more information about you, look at some of the videos, and also maybe check out some of the things that you're writing as well on the internet?
Yeah, absolutely. So at cfact.org, that's cfact.org, we're posting daily updates and analysis of all the ridiculousness that is going on in D.C. and around the world right now. So you got to check that out. For the videos, you can check out, we just had a documentary come out called Climate Hustle 2. That's a number 2, kind of goes through all of this, you know, garbage and how to indoctrinate your kids and your friends about it, climatehustle2.com. I check that out. And then the last thing I'd say is, you know, look up CFACT, C-F-A-C-T on YouTube. We're still on there for now. And you'll see a lot of our collegians outreach, man on the street interview, activism videos, and all that stuff.
Fantastic. In the last 3 minutes that we got left, if you could, what should people give, you know, a few steps people should be practically taking right now to stand up against what is coming and what is already happening? And also, how can they reach out and maybe even support you or direct people your way?
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate that question. I would say, you know, I'm a Christian myself. If you listen to this and you're a Christian, you absolutely got to pray. But, you know, the Bible says we also have to be engaged. We have to be active. You know, we have to be praying for those in authority. But, you know, I think that when Christians are actively engaged in the public policy process and praying for it, you're going to see a lot of positive things start to happen. And at the very least, you'll better know how to pray. For those, you know, who are listening who, you know, maybe aren't quite as active in their faith, I would say that, you know, you got to start getting involved with, you know, whatever the local political organization there is and starting to annoy your legislators, you know, and whether that is, you know, reaching out over email, calling, you know, attending whatever town halls they're doing, attending these webinars, make them know that you're there and you care about what's happening. You know, having used to work in Senator Bucco's office, he was one of those legislators that, hey, what are people saying? You know, how many people reached out about it? How passionate are they? In terms of CFACT, you can go to CFACT.org, like I said before, and click on the Donate Now button, you know, and all of it goes directly towards our efforts on college campuses and around the country.
Do you guys have like an annual conference or anything that young people that are listening to this broadcast can attend?
We absolutely do. It's called our Eco Summit. Except it's not radical environmentalism. It's sound, you know, environmentalism based off of liberty and limited government. And if you email us at admin@cfactcampus.org, so that's admin@cfactcampus.org, email us how to get involved with that, and we'll give you all the info you need.
Awesome. Adam Hauser, thank you so much for joining me on Patriot Radio today. Really appreciate everything you're doing. Keep up the fight. And I know that we are going to be victorious. It's just going to be a lot of work.
Absolutely. Hey, it's a pleasure to be here. We'll keep fighting.
All right. Adam Hauser, National Director of Collegians for a Constructive Tomorrow, CFACT. If you want to check them out, and I'm going to post this as well on our Facebook page for however long that is up. For the future here, I'll post the link on the Facebook page and the Patriot Radio page as well. Check them out. Want to end the show quickly with some more things that you can be doing right now. A lot of people have asked me, where can you get information right now? If you do not go to the New American, you should go to the New American website on a daily basis, thenewamerican.com, thenewamerican.com. It is a great source of information that is checked in their primary sources behind all of the things that they do. Again, they haven't retracted an article in 25 years. LibertySentinel.org, another fantastic resource to go to for information. Also, UnderstandingTheThreat.com. And there's another one that I'm going to give to you now as well that you may not have heard. It's called jihadwatch.org, jihadwatch.org. That's Robert Spencer's website. Some fantastic stuff up there on some of the technological things that are coming against people. You know, like the deplatforming or the attacks on Signal. There was a big cyber attack on Signal here a week and a half ago. In addition to that, always check out technocracy.news, technocracy.news. And you can see that, for example, their first article, criticizing Biden's transgender policy violates standards on violence and incitement on Facebook. And so that can get you banned. So everybody out there can go and talk about the fact that the military is not the place for a social experiment. Look forward to hearing back from everybody on that one. So The other one that I will mention to you, if you have not heard me talk about it already, is WorldNet Daily. And there's several great articles on the front page of WorldNet Daily. So those are just some of the many information sources that we have out there right now that are not censored, that give an objective approach to things, that understand the forces that are coming against this country right now, and just don't listen to the propaganda. I'm going to say that again. Don't listen to the propaganda. There is so much going on right now, and the fact of the matter is they would not need to do this unless they were scared. The other side is scared. They're scared that that many people are woke up, woke in the right sense. They are scared that that many people are still communicating despite all of the censorship that they're trying to put on the internet. They're scared that even through all of this, we still have entrepreneurs that are surviving all of this tyranny to help fund constitutional, patriot, Christian causes. They're scared that the American church is beginning to wake up. Yes, it is. And not only is it waking up, it's realizing. It's realizing that it is one of the predominant forces that should be speaking out right now against this tyranny, against this persecution. So I hope that gives you some things. Enough. And if you don't have enough, you can always message me. But we must pray, but let's get out there and let's start acting. This is Matt Shea. Thank you once again for joining me on Patriot Radio today. May God bless all of you, and may he make this generation the greatest one. Keep up the fight.